Yeah, and okay, so we're good to start now. Welcome, everybody. And I'll just say that, you know, a lot of times we'll get notes in the chat saying, oh, sorry, I have to go early or whatever. That's okay. You can go ahead. You don't have to chat that message because it's a little bit distracting sometimes. So welcome, and we're... I watched that video this morning and it was a good one. And I have so many examples of when I was lost in thought that like they could, you know, go on forever. So I'll post some in the Facebook group. And I hope you guys will post your lost in thought examples as well. I'll be looking forward to those. And now I would like to turn it over to our esteemed hosts, Maureen Bryant and Steph Sibihofsky. Take it away, guys.
Hey, everyone.
Thanks, Sarah. Hi, everyone. Good afternoon, morning, and evening. I'm just back from Mexico after a week away, and I'm sort of flying in the middle of the time zone at the moment. So I'm in a quite a calm, settled peace of mind kind of feeling at the moment. But if I fall asleep, somebody just Sarah, just hit me over the head. I saw Michael's video, Intelligence versus Intellect, and I saw the homework that we had, which was right at time when you were lost in thought. And like Sarah, oh boy, I've got a million of those stories. I guess probably one of the most significant times for me, and this was before I actually was introduced to the principles, was, and I might have mentioned it before, when it was a time when my wife and I were going through separation, and there was quite a lot of frustration and anxiety with both of us, and our communication had kind of almost come to a halt. And there was a point where we needed to speak about, you know, about the house and about the contents and about what we were going to do with custody of our son. And so it was quite an emotional time for us both. And I guess we knew that we had this meeting coming up with a lawyer, and the lawyer had given us lots of advice about things we could say and about things we couldn't say, and what we had to, you know, what we had to make sure that the agenda that we were talking from was put forward. And I was really quite lost in that. The weeks previous seemed to me, from what I can remember, were filled with anger and frustration, and trying to internal dialogue in my head. I was trying to work out what I would say, and then what the response would be, and then how I would cope with that, and the points that I needed to get through. And And it for a number of weeks, on and off, obviously, it was a roller coaster. But for a number of weeks, it was an extremely difficult time for me. And from the way that the lawyer was talking, it was like, you have to have this worked out. You have to be in control of the meeting so that you can get what you want from it. So the day of the meeting arrived, I woke up, I seem to remember, about 3 o'clock in the morning, with this dialogue constantly going in my head between myself and the lawyer, between myself and my wife, and we sat down, and I could see that she was really, really anxious as well. And the lawyer was saying, right, okay, this is what we need to start with. We need to start with this, and then we go on to this. He was giving us an agenda. And I remember looking at her, and I remember, and this was before the principles, so it wasn't something that I was aware of, but I remember feeling, going from up here like this, really crazy minded, all of a sudden, everything seemed to settle. Everything seemed to calm down. And I could see the pain she was in. And I was more surprised than anybody in the room at what came out of my mouth. I basically just said, look, I love you. I really love you. And I really don't want to make this any more painful than we need to make it. Obviously, you know, we have to make sure that, you know, we've got a future together with our son, even though we won't actually be together. But I just want you to know that I love you. And I want this conversation to be from that place. And the look of horror on the lawyer's face was a picture. And the look of relief on my wife's face was palpable. You know, you could see her just breathe out. And she said, I remember her saying, so does that mean we can be friends then? And I said, yeah, that's what we need to be. And so for me, that was such an example of mind coming through me, giving me what I needed, what everybody needed in that moment, regardless of me knowing it and understanding it. I didn't have a clue. I was sitting there with my mouth opening and closing, thinking, what am I doing? But that was such a powerful moment for me, and life-changing, because what's happened over the last sort of 3 or 4 years is, you know, we have a great relationship, and, you know, our son is perfectly happy with the way things have turned out, and it was just one of those moments in time that could have gone either way, and I remember the feeling of calmness as it came through. And I was talking to somebody last week, and they were telling me about a story. It was a metaphor that came to mind, about a carpenter who would make furniture, and this very rich lady brought him a huge tree trunk on the back of a lorry so that he could carve a chair out of it. So she said, I want this chair to look like this. This is the blueprint for it. I need it in 3 weeks' time, and please go ahead and make it for me. So this carpenter was quite a famous carpenter. He was very prized for his original kind of design. So 3 weeks came, and she came back, and he said, it isn't finished. 4 weeks came, didn't finish, haven't finished it yet, sorry. And then the sixth week came, and he said, yes, it's finally finished, it's ready for you. So he unveiled the chair, and she looked at it in horror. She said, but that's nothing like the design that I gave you to make. It's not anything like the blueprint. You need to go and make it again. And he said, I'm sorry, I don't think you understand. He said, this is the chair that the tree wanted to make. This is the chair that the tree is giving to us in this moment. So she said, no, you can't do this to me. I want that chair. So he said, you don't understand. If you want that chair, you need to give me the tree that will make that chair. And it's such a beautiful metaphor for me, because when we're settled and when we have a clear mind, we can hear our insight, which is bubbling up all the time. It's not that it's not that we have to say, right, okay, I'm gonna get quiet now. I'm gonna get quiet, and then I might have an insight, and then we chase our insight. To me, it does not feel like that anymore. To me, that conversation I had with my wife, that was bubbling up all the time. I just couldn't hear it. So for me, it's being open to what the moment wants to give us. It's being open to the chair that the tree wants to give us, because in that moment, without all the pre-planning and all the dialogue and the trying to work it out and trying to control it, there's something so much deeper bubbling up, ready to give us what the moment needs, what we need. And when we're in relationship, to give people what they need in order to heal, in order to see more. So I like the way that I still get lost 100 times a day, but I know that underneath all that noise, underneath all that effort and control that I try to put on things, underneath it, there's a much easier option. It's as Michael said, it comes through us, not from us. And the more we see that, the more we get to trust it, the more we get to rely on it. Yeah. Maureen.
Wow, that was beautiful, Steph. I actually didn't see the video till last night. I was a little late getting on our homework. And I watched the video. And it was right after I got a call. I got home early from work last night. I got home about 6:30, which is early for me. And right as I got home, I got a call from a lender because I sell real estate and I have a closing this afternoon at 3:00. And she said, there's a problem with the closing. Doesn't look like it's going to close. So, which usually doesn't happen, but this was happening. So we were trying to contact the buyer to see if it could be corrected. Something was needed from the buyer. Couldn't reach the buyer. And I just said, okay. And I watched the video and I thought, well, this is kind of something, isn't it? But then I kind of just went on with my night, like fixing dinner and doing things around the house. Eventually I talked to the buyer and she was pretty calm. Upset but calm. We both kind of were just kind of calm. And I really realized as the night was going on, I kept saying, wow, I can't believe I'm not even thinking about this. Because before, this would have been a big deal. Like, oh my God, who messed up? Who dropped the ball? Who didn't do their job, right? Point and blame. I just didn't think anything about it. Because I knew really it was out of my control. Was anything I could do anyway. So now I got up this morning, listened to the video again. But now today there has been a little bubbling between the buyer and the lender and the seller and kind of got in there a little bit, but still the whole beauty of it is it's still going to work out, just not as planned. The buyer still wants the house, seller's still selling it. The buyer's still able to buy. It's just going to be a different program. And it's no big deal. Now, convincing them of that is another thing. The buyer and the seller have a lot of thinking about it. But they're settling down. They see it for what it is instead of the blame. Who's at fault? They see it. And I said, the whole picture is, it's all workable. And everybody, the intention is still there for all parties involved. And it's kind of like us. our intentions are always there. And if we can let part of us quiet down so it can come through us, the other side of it come through. With such grace. And I used to be one of those who meditated. I have one of those infrared saunas. I bought a little sauna to help my husband detox, who's overweight. Thought it would help him lose weight, but ended up being a great meditation box. You can get in there and meditate. And it got to be such a joke because I would go in and meditate, and I thought you had to do everything. This is all before 3Ps, right? A certain way. And it got to be where my husband and even my children would hand me a list. Now, when you go in your box tonight, ask for these things. Like I was Santa Claus. And it was really cool. But I got in that mindset too. I had to get in the box, meditate, think about this, and these gifts, these things will appear in our lives. And the really cool thing is, once I stepped back out of that, you know, we stumbled upon the principles, upon Michael and the super coach, and learned, I mean, so much more came through me after getting out of the box. Makes sense. Because I guess you get in the box, it's like in prayer. If you're in prayer or whatever you want to do, you expect that's your contact. Only then do good things come. But now it's like, even dealing with this problem with work, you see it, but something else comes through. Even when you're in distress, in the split second, you can just step back and something good comes through. I don't know if that's making sense.
It's making a great deal of sense.
And it's just really a beautiful thing to see. And it's kind of like I have this 80-year-old client, a seller right now, and trying to help her find a house. And we got in front of my office the other day, and this is just a crazy story. And an agent would walk out, and she would talk about this person. She goes, oh, I didn't know she worked here, blah, 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 blah. Then another lady walked out. Oh, I know her too. And she's blah, 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 blah. And then the third person walked out. She said something about this. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And so finally she goes, oh, we got to quit talking bad about people. Of course, now I haven't said a word. I'm just smiling, right? And so she's talking about this person. And then finally, you know, she goes, we just need to quit talking about this. This is bad. And I just said, and so I just looked at her. I won't say her real name, but it's, let's just say her name is Sarah Ann. Okay. She had one of those two word names, good Southern name. And I said, well, Sarah Ann, I look at it like this. We all have God in us, right? Could we all come from God or a greater universe, something bigger? She said, yes. And I said, the way I see it is that person has that in them too. Sometimes they just forget they have it. And now that, and she goes, oh, well, that's right. She said, just like when she did such and such to that little girl, she said, she forgot that little girl has gotten her too, just not her. And I said, yeah. But it was just like, it was just kind of cool to see this elderly woman with a lot of thought going on, but then she would quiet back down. And now I would have never thought to ever told anybody that, but for some reason at that time, I could see she was caught up in feeling bad about talking bad about people. And I was just trying to make her feel better, see it in a different light. But I don't know. I guess I'm just going to ask, does anybody else have something they want to share?
Yeah, so if you guys would like to ask a question or share a story or a reflection, This is a good time to raise your hand, and you do that by clicking on the participant feature. If you're on a phone, you won't be able to do this, but you click on the participant feature if you're on another kind of device, and you'll see in the page that opens up, raise hand, and then click on that, and I'll see your hand. If that's all just a bit too much, then go like this, and one of us will probably see it, even though we got a couple of different pages. Okay. So people are, oh, there we go. It's our friend Rex. Welcome, hi. Rex. Your turn.
Hi, thank you very much. When I listened to Michael's video, I was scrabbling around thinking, right, I've got to think of something. I've got to think of something. because otherwise I'd be the village idiot, and that's not going to look good. And I actually don't know how it relates to it all, but I'm reminded of when I went to a walk in the Lake District a couple of weeks ago. And I referred to this tale, I think, a few weeks ago. And I went up a path that I hadn't been up for a very long time, met some wonderful people. And I thought, right, what I'm going to do is listen to Michael's book as I go across the top. Because I got it on Audible, like from the inside out. And I plugged it in, I started listening to it, and I realised that about 15 years ago, I had said to somebody that what I had a vision of is somehow I'd be walking across the top of the mountains, and that would be my place. That would be my dream, my way to live, my way to be, my way to work, whatever it is. And that just felt like that's exactly where I was at exactly that time. I listened to Michael's book. I haven't a clue what he said. I've no idea. I just have no idea. But I just remember that extraordinary experience of just being in the place that I decreed that I would be. And of course I thought as I listened to the book, right, I'm going to have some wonderful insight. And I guess the insight I had was if I look where I put my feet, then I'll make it down safely. And that's what I did. But I've still come away with just this great feeling. And I can't quantify it. I can't write notes about it. I can't detail it in any of the things that I would wish to do, but it not only stays with me, but it feels like it was preordained to be.
Wow, that's beautiful, Rex. And I know in the beginning with me, when I started listening to Michael and the principles, It was this feeling. People would go, oh, what'd you learn today? You know, when I did Super Coach Academy, I'd call home and my friends or somebody or my husband would go, well, what'd you learn today? And I'd go, well, nothing. And they go, you've been there all day, you've been there all weekend, you haven't learned anything? And I said, well, no. I said, all I can say is a feeling. And I would have never thought of that till they asked me that. And I was just going, yeah, it's a feeling. But I didn't know what it was. And talking about the village idiot, that when I heard George Pransky say once, the less you have on the mind, the less you know, the better off you'll be. I thought, well, I've got this one in the bag. My dad, I'm one of six children. There's six of us. And I'm one of the youngest, number five in the line there. And my dad used to always say, I could sue the Catholic school system for your education because you obviously never learned anything. And so, but that, and sometimes that's what I struggle with is, oh, am I smart enough? Oh, I don't know enough. But then that just goes out the window. I mean, this, the principles is wonderful because that just goes out the window. And I think I'm pretty successful in what I do. I'm successful because I love it. I enjoy it. My clients, I see results in my clients that I work with, and everything. And I would say the biggest thing I can take from this too is don't take everything so serious. And I think finding the principles, it's kind of like this closing that's kind of falling apart, but it really won't. Just don't take it so serious. Don't take life. Don't take everything so serious. And when you kind of can drop that costume off of you, it makes everything better.
And do you know that's interesting, because taking things seriously is such a big thing for me, and
yeah,
for all sorts of reasons. So that's right on the money. And indeed, last Friday I was sitting there in a hotel foyer with a potential client, just having a conversation, and I listened to him for, and I hear myself thinking, that doesn't sound right. It was just with a person. So I was just sitting with a person having a conversation. I was listening to him for 2 hours, and he talked about everything from his childhood to whatever. And I thought, I have no idea where this conversation is going. I just give up. I'm just going to ride with it. Within a few minutes, somebody came up and said, did I hear somebody having a three principles conversation? And he's somebody who's been on the Super Coach Academy, and I believe knows that. And I found myself in this extraordinary conversation with somebody else, and then explained to the person I was talking to a little bit about what Three Principles was about, like I know anything, because I've only listened to books. And then it all settled out, and I thought, and I just remember thinking, I wonder what's going to happen next. And then he just blurted out all of his deep fears and the things that he was really troubled about. And we had an animated, extraordinary conversation for the next, I don't know, 45 minutes.
Wow.
That's what you were saying about the way you described about the feeling that you got. I had chills up and down my spine, because that feeling, once you recognize it, once you get a feel for it and get a sense for it, you do realize that is what we're made of, you know, that feeling, that beautiful sense of love and compassion, that is there all the time. And I think Sid Banks said once, everything you need is in that feeling. You don't need anything else. And he even went as far as to say, and this is how old it must have been, he was saying that if you find yourself with a tape in the car and you're listening to me or George or whatever, and all of a sudden you find yourself drop into that feeling, he said, take the tape out and throw it out the window. Because once you're in the feeling, that's all you need. That's it. The feeling has everything. It is everything. So I loved what you said there, Rex. Thank you.
Thank you, Rex. And I love too the way you said it wasn't that you got a big insight. You just saw that you were in exactly the place that you always wanted to be. No big insight there, huh?
No.
Okay. So just moving on, let's go to, okay, I just want to encourage anyone who hasn't raised their hand on one of these calls. I'm looking to call on you soon. Linda Harvey, yay. You're up next. Hi, Linda.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I'm just thinking, I was thinking when I heard the call about it was well over 12 months ago. It was a work-related issue. And I'd been given a piece of work to do that three other people had all made a recommendation on. And my recommendation was very different. So I took it to senior managers and the legal, and they both went, look, three other workers who were all really experienced have said that this is the right way to go. I think it's the right way to go. Legal thinks it's the right way to go. Why on earth would you think it isn't? Right, okay, well, I just think that, you know, we haven't got the evidence and we're going to go to court and it's just, we're going to get our asses kicked. And they went, oh, no, 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 that won't happen. And then one thing led to another and I was actually taken off the case. Somebody else was given the case and they went to court and I'm feeling really, really rubbish about myself at this point. Was exactly what I was recommending. And I thought, well, maybe I wasn't quite so off the mark. Maybe I should listen to my intuition a little bit more. But and then the other day, I was listening. My heating broke. And I looked in the manual and it said, too much pressure in the system, bleed the system. So I bled the system and the little dial didn't move at all. Think, right, that's it. Okay, don't know what else to do. I'll just have to call the engineer on Monday. And I was listening to Michael talk about the stream and the stick and how it had got stuck. And I'm thinking, right, okay, well, I'm bleeding the system off and it's still staying where it is. Why would that be? And then I thought, well, there must be more water coming in the system somehow. Okay, so I went back and had a look at my boiler and there's a little switch. When the system gets too low, you turn it and the boiler refills with water. And I noticed that it looked a bit different than it normally looked. So I turned it and the system starts filling. I think, so I turn it the other way and the system stops. Okay, right, well, it stopped. So we'll bleed the system. And then lo and behold, the needle drops, my boiler starts working, and it's fixed. So, there we go.
Can you come and help me out with my heating system?
Yes, I'm thinking of changing career now.
That's beautiful, Linda. Beautiful. Those are the kind of things that I see now. I see tiny little things like, I don't know, going back into the bathroom and finding that I'd left the tap running or something like that and switching it off and to bigger things and bigger insights. I see that as the intelligence, the kindness of the design, whatever we want to call it, I see it as that constant bubbling of wisdom and intuition that is always there. And I, whereas I used to think it was coincidence or luck or whatever, or I used to kind of have a little box that said, okay, that's wisdom and that was luck and that's coincidence. Now, to me, it's all mind. All mind, and the more I see it, the more miraculous it looks to me, and the more I just want to give thanks for it, because it's, and I love what you've said there, because they're perfect examples.
Yeah, Linda, that is cool, because that's kind of like thoughts too, and everything else. You get too much one direction and ends up going total opposite direction till you find that little balance of where you can see things. And it's kind of like I've become a little bit more attuned to it over the last couple years too, because I used to do like stuff. I'd say, oh, that's a coincidence or luck. But now it becomes a familiar feeling, like the feeling that Rex had, that feeling we're talking about. We call it home sometimes. Some of us call it going home. Yeah. Okay, even though home for some people can be homesick, but but it's that place where you feel a connection, a calmness. It's just something quiet happens to you. And I mean, sometimes like I just know things, And I know it's not coming from me because it wouldn't be my thought. Like if I'm thinking about something and an off thought comes in, I'll be like, well, I wasn't even thinking about that. Why would that pop into my head, right? And in one instance, so I've kind of attuned myself to that. And I think I've told y'all a couple of examples, like where I'd be going over my head in the morning, what I need to do for today, how am I going to do it? And then all of a sudden, I heard, live your life as if you're in prayer. And I thought, well, that didn't have anything to do with my day. That had nothing to do with my scheduling that I was going on in my head. But that thought popped in. And it just calmed me down. And I went, okay. And that was the end of my rambling thinking, right? So the other day I was flying back, I think from LA last month, and I'm out there with Michael. And I was at the hotel and I only had a little suitcase, not much. And I went to leave. I was walking out to head to the airport. And something said, go back to the bathroom. I just got the thought, you know, go back and look in the bathroom, turn your light back on. And I'm not one of those who turns off, you know, checks and make sure the coffee pot's off. I'm not one of those obsessive people that look around all the time, like before you leave the house or a room. And so I almost dismissed the thought of going back to the bathroom and looking. But I stopped, went back, turned the bathroom light on, looked around, turned it off. As I went to turn the light off, something caught my eye in the corner of the bathroom, a glimmer, a little something sparkled. And I turned the light back on again, and there sat my diamond ring. And I went, oh, that's why I'm supposed to go back. You see, I could have just dismissed it as nothing. But it was a thought, too, that I knew wasn't like me to just to go back, turn the lights on, and recheck the room again. But I was at the door, and the thought just came in, go back and check the bathroom. And that's just kind of another, I always say that, acknowledgement. I just acknowledge it over and over every day. I don't take anything for granted anymore. And I thought that was a cool thing.
Nice. Yeah, I keep getting lots of little insights at the moment, little things that are just sort of matching up with all of this. Yes. But my intellect does keep coming in and saying, and nattering away at me. And sometimes I think I'm getting so much just to sort of hit me on the head and say, look, just give in, just give up. This is it.
Yeah, just let it go.
Yeah.
We're not in control.
That's what I mean. It is constantly bubbling up, constantly. And when we get a feel for it, get a feel for that place, it's you spend more time there. Yeah.
Thank you, Linda. And let's go now to our friend Sean. He's ready. Hey, Sean.
How are you doing? You're all right.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean.
How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, it was so watching the video and following what other people have said on Facebook page and what have you, I kind of come from a world which is obviously work and education. The intellect side is kind of, you know, part and parcel of what we do and what we encourage the students to do. And it was like when Michael was talking about, oh, you know, I needed to sort of read this book and look at that course and understand the theory behind this. And when I first started coming into this this study, if you like, that's very much the approach that I've used. And I remember I was on a call, like a similar thing, a video call, probably over the summer. A couple of months back with Jamie Smart, and I said, right, well I get it, intellectually I get it, because I understand that there's right, there's man, there's consciousness, and there's thought, and I can see, and it all fits together. And he said, well, if you think that you get it, mm-hmm. then you don't get it, because yeah. you're thinking that. And I'm like, you what? And it was that process of, well, yeah, I'm trying to make everything nice and neat and in a box, and this follows that, and that links in with that. And the more and more, like you say, when you get those little glimpses that kind of pop up, and you go, actually, no, it's not like that. It is completely different. And the more you try, and of course with the education thing, the more you try and understand it and sort of get your brain around it and what have you, the less chance you've got of getting it, almost, because you kind of swimming against the tide, you know. And listening to kind of what Linda was saying here and so on, it reminded me about, and again, it just kind of popped in while you were talking. So some of the students call me Tangent Man, because when I'm lecturing, all of a sudden I'll go, oh, and here's another thing, and I'll kind of go off and explain something, and then I'll somehow try and link it back to what I was talking about in the first place. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But it's just like, sometimes I get those little, oh, I've got to tell them about this, or that would be interesting to know. And it was only just then I thought, well, that must kind of be the, you know, what happens. It's just the little voice kind of whispers in your ear, and you go, oh, by the way, did you know that, you know, cows have four stomachs or something like that? It's I just found that whole the intellect versus the intelligence thing, I found that really interesting from an educational perspective, because my approach to the students would be, right, we'll go and read about it and find out different viewpoints and do all this and do all that, and it's, you know, it's evidence-based practice and blah blah blah, whereas, you know, this isn't.
No.
It's feeling-based practice, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. I absolutely love that, Sean. That describes it to a T. And I think that we always look to what we know and to our experience and books, because we don't trust ourselves. And one of the, when I'm teaching now, one of the exercises that we do to show people that this fantastic, amazing wisdom, intuition, whatever we want to call it, is bubbling up all the time, is we do an exercise where we have one person who has an issue, talks to two people, and they just listen for a little while. But while this person speaks for a minute, so I'll give you an example. We did a demonstration where I was saying to two people, my son's, I'm in the US, my son's in the UK, he's got to get back to university, he's got to get in a car, I can't do it, none of his family can do it, I don't know how he's going to get there, I haven't got a clue. So instead of the two people listening, actually trying to work on the problem and come up with a solution, what they did was they basically looked to the unknown. They did it by saying, okay, so I wonder why he thinks that he has to get his son to university. And another person said something like, oh, I wonder why he has to go to university on that day or something. So what was interesting was that my role was to just listen to them wondering out loud. It was as though I wasn't there, you know. So I really didn't expect to see anything so quickly, but within about 10 seconds of them just randomly wondering and reflecting, I got this insight, and I thought, oh, hold on a second. So my son needs to get to university. Ideally, it should be in a car because he's got a computer and all sorts of other things. But also, he's just started learning to drive, and he hasn't had enough practice. So what if I hired a driving instructor to put all his stuff in his car and get Sam to drive to university, and he gets some driving instruction at the same time? Now, that was a typical example of what Maureen was saying about, I knew it wasn't mine. That would never have occurred to me. That was just not in my imagination. That was not in my personal database of solutions to problems. But there was something about not looking to what I already knew and to hearing people just reflecting, just wondering. And they didn't pinpoint the answer, but they freed my thinking up to hear something new. And it was just, we were doing this as a demonstration in front of about 60 people and they couldn't believe it. They thought it was something that we'd worked on beforehand, but it was perfect, you know? So that's what I'm hearing you saying, Sean, is that you know, the system is set up for proof-based learning. It's set up for comparison, analysis. But it's not set up for wondering.
Yeah, and that sometimes I find actually hinders more of our students than it does helps them.
Yeah, because what we're doing is we're looking at all the evidence-based stuff, all the stuff that's already in form, and we're at our peril. We're ignoring the biggest asset that we've got is to look to the formless, to look to what hasn't been thought of yet, to come up with something completely innovative, something that's never been done before. You know, that power is within all of us, and that process of wondering as opposed to looking at what we already know is what we need to explore. Thank you, Sean. Brilliant.
All right. Let's see if we can maybe hear from somebody we don't even know yet. This is always a tricky invitation, but you know. Sarah Purnell, I'd love to hear from. Are you ready? You want to join us? Okay, cool. All right. Wait, I got to find your name on here. Oh, I don't see you. Wait a second. All right. Did you raise your hand? Then maybe that's it. Yes. Go. You're on.
Hi, Sarah.
Yeah. I'm on. Hi, Steph. Hi, Maureen. Hi, Sarah. You guys are amazing. And I knew that I had to speak today, even though I have complete fear of speaking in front of people. I know that you're not like, you know, sat in front of me. But my mind goes completely a blank. The three principles has just changed the way I live and think and feel. It's been the most wonderful way of living, really, which I didn't ever think was possible. And really, I'm just, you know, I'm just peeking from behind the curtains because I've never spoken on any of the things before, but this is my ducky horsey moment. And I was hoping that, yeah, I was thinking maybe I'll get some inspiration from somewhere. I've got like 1,000 little stories, but I know I can't probably keep on track, and I'm probably just rambling, but this just speaking now is just getting me over that discomfort level, so that next time when I want to say something, I'll feel way more comfortable. But I could feel my heart going.
Sarah, I can say, I think I've been this with almost 3 years now, Sarah.
Yeah.
The other Sarah. And this is the first time I've ever spoken. I think I've been on every program. And unless they force me to speak, never spoken. I made it through 2 Swiss Per Coach Academies and have not stood up yet and spoke. And they always, Mike always says, oh, by the end of the academy, everybody will have spoken into the room well.
it's my only kind of nemesis, I feel, in life. Everything else, you know, in years gone by, my thing was always like having courage in my own convictions. And now I don't feel particularly, unless someone else has expertise, I don't feel like I have to consult anybody. Mm. I don't need
You're right.
someone else to tell me. I just, we know.
Yeah. And that was kind of my thing. I didn't speak up because a lot of it, I felt like I know, even though Sean says, was it Sean who said a minute ago? If you know, you don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. Oh, you think you know it, and then they'll tell you, oh, if you think you know it, then you don't know. But I have that self-satisfaction too, like, oh, I'm good. I understand. I see it. So I didn't need to raise my hand. It's kind of like, that's kind of.
But there's wanting to connect with those people out there, isn't it? To feel that you're part of it. And it's so much part, you know, and I go to sleep listening to Michael. He's the best storyteller I know. It kind of puts together in a very simple way things, experiences and insights that I may have been having since my mid-20s. You know, we're always sort of seeking something, but now I don't feel like I'm seeking anything.
Yes, exactly.
I don't have to keep going, oh, that's interesting. I have to read everything about that. I need to know more about that. Let's buy the video of this. And this is it.
It's like the search is over.
Yeah.
And so now you can really begin.
Yeah. And I just feel like I want it to be more part of my life.
Yeah.
In what way, I don't know. I just recently, I just turned 50, and I'm kind of feeling a little bit like, okay, I love my house. It's a beautiful house. My life's okay, but it just feels I could give everything up. And off I go for I don't know what, just to see what happens. I don't know if it's foolhardy. It feels okay.
Yes.
You know,
I was going to say, you say, oh, I've got nothing to say. I don't know. I get a blind. I don't see anything. I listen to you.
That's beautiful. That's a great. It's great to get to know you. So thank you for raising your hand.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Sarah, I just wanted to say that what you touched on there was that you all of a sudden you have a sense that you don't have to look anymore. You have a sense that whatever you have is inside you. That is massive. You know, that is massive. And what you were saying about, you know, you have a beautiful house, but you feel that there's you can do anything. You know, you can do anything with what you're learning, and that. You know, so many people are really afraid of the unknown.
Mm.
They're so afraid of not knowing what's going to happen. And certainly when I first came to this understanding, all of a sudden, all bets were off. You know, I felt like I was in free fall. I really didn't know where it was going to end. I didn't know, you know, everything that I felt. Everything that I clung on to in life as being real, all of a sudden, just wasn't so solid anymore. And I went from feeling really scared of that to feeling really excited by it. And that's what I hear in what you're saying as well. And it's beautiful and it's perfect. And all you have to do is just keep looking in this direction. Just keep in the conversation and it will just get deeper, more beautiful, more easy, and life will unfold in such a perfect way.
it's just wanting more of it, and all the time more.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, wouldn't it be great just to have these little, you know, three principles, churches everywhere. Churches, yeah?
Yeah.
Isn't that what church is?
Well, it is everywhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Or what it sets out to be, and what I find most of the people miss. Is this?
That's what we're up to, Sarah. That's what we're up to. It's when you get a sense of what is on the table here. You get a sense of what is available to people, and that what I'm hearing in you is that oh my God, you know, if people could only see this. That's what we're doing. That's what you're doing. You know, you've just seen that there's no unseeing that. So there's an unfolding in my experience. There's an unfolding that happens in a way that I've really stopped trying to work out. But I think it's something like, you know, Rex was alluding to earlier. There is a kindness to the design. There are some people that say that some things were meant to be and some things aren't. I just think that there's a time, you know, people hear this at the right time for them. And I think that that's our job really, is just to share it as much as we can and then see how that takes root in people. It's the most beautiful thing, you know, most beautiful thing to watch.
And it just makes the getting to it simple and not accidental. Mm-hmm. You know, I years ago I had a Holy Spirit experience and it kind of went on for 3 days. So I've been to a place of ecstasy and bliss beyond what anybody can actually imagine. So I know it's there. But to be able to be able to fall into it, I mean, not, I'm not talking about kind of like to those, you know, ecstatic. It's too much for everyday life, but to fall back into that comfort, that feeling of being held, of being cradled, and that everything, someone's got your back. Is beyond words.
That's the feeling. You throw the tape out the window now.
so now you'll raise your hand again next week, right?
Sorry?
So you'll raise your hand again next week, right?
I will raise my hand. I will.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, God.
That was awesome. Okay, we do have one more hand that I'd like to get to if we can. Is that okay? So let me go to Cariadne. We just have a couple minutes, Cariadne, and I'm so sorry. Is it something you can share that quickly, or we could kind of stay on if you need?
Let's hope I'll be quick and cut me off when the time's up. Mm. But Sarah, thank you very much, Sarah Purnell, for what you've just said, and I extend my welcomes to you. And Steph, it was something you said, and Sean, the spirit of how you said it, about you never know when something will get through. The system's set up to be evidence-based, and it isn't set up for wondering. And I have been recently able to return to my work because my very ill roommate has had a wonderful recovery. And of course, the expert agonizer immediately can descend into inadequacy. But it's been about, because I'm doing a biography, the evidence-based pressure I take on is unspeakable. And the wondering is what's getting at me, because I don't have evidence for what I am speculating about this person, but I think it fits. And I come away with a fresh boost of courage from that. And Sean, your delicious irreverence as Tangent Man was just about that. So thank you.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you, Cariadne.
Okay, well, we're at the end of our time together. It goes so fast. So we're looking forward to your posts on Facebook, and we'll see you back here next week. If anybody wants to have a chat, just email me, sarah@michaelneal.org, and it's Sarah with no H. And I look forward to getting to know you better as we go along.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. That was beautiful.
Have a beautiful week.
Unmuting you all.
Hello.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.